Sanctification, Grieving of the Holy Spirit, November 10, 2013. We're down to consider how we may grieve the Spirit. So I had the question, how do we grieve the Spirit? How do I know when I'm grieving the Spirit? Well, these are distinct questions, and we begin to answer each by returning to the Ephesians context. And I'd like to read this, and then we'll have it in our minds as we go forward. Paul says, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, speaking the truth in love. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Now, guardedly, and this is a point I really want to stress here, but I say it guardedly, I want to say that it is not our sins generally that grieve and by parallel quench the Spirit. Now that, I feel I'm stepping out a little bit, and Kathy's probably going to pin me down on this in a minute, but that, I want to stay there for a minute here. Let me go with you. We sin every day. We truly are sinners as saints. As sinners, sinning every day, the Holy Spirit leads us graciously and efficaciously to the day of redemption. So I am not inclined to say that grieving is defined by all the injunctions and possibilities of failure that we've just read about, like pride, meanness, impatience, and so forth. I want to emphasize the attitude and dynamic of trying to discern how to please God. Trying to please pleases the Spirit. It seems to me that the big picture of our text, parallel with the big picture in the quenching text, puts two things before us: our relationship to the ministry of the Word and our relationships with one another in relationship to the Word. So the sum of it is that we grieve the Spirit when we have an unwilling spirit, a lack of openness, and a lack of submission to the means of sanctification in the life of the church as disciples called to be learners for holiness to the glory of God. And of course, these things apply to the Christian home, mutatis mutandis, you know, with the necessary adjustments. So I want to stop there for a minute, but any thoughts, any red flags, thoughts, am I clear enough? I don't want to minimize sins or the commands and the prohibitions in our text when I'm saying these things. But it just does seem to me that we've got to see this whole text, and it, actually reading all the way down to the pleasing, trying to please the Lord verse, which is farther down in chapter 5, which we looked at, I think, last week or 2 weeks ago. But there's a, I'm trying to pick up a you know what I talked about before, the gospel tract here. This is not legalism that we're talking about. And the legalistic do's and don'ts. When we are enjoined and commanded, we're not being called into a form of legalism. We're on a gospel track. we're sinners on the way as sinners. We have various commands and prohibitions. Grieving the Holy Spirit, I'm getting ahead of myself, has to do with our efforts and our striving. So any thoughts before I'll read another paragraph and see if you're getting. Go ahead.
I would, to your statement, to the guarded statement that you make there, you know, I would put it this way. To any of us as a Christian, if we were to hear someone else who is a Christian say that, thankfully, I don't have any sin right now in my life, you know, how would we react to that? Like, someone could say, you know, I'm all set with sin right now. What would we say to that?
Well,
surely we would.
Deceiving oneself, a lot of other things.
So given that, right, I don't think this is bad. This is uncomfortable at all to make a statement you just said.
Okay. So far, you're on board.
You're just going on record again.
Yep, on the record. On the record.
She's having a hard time with that.
Exactly.
Let me go a little further because I am going to be a little, I'm probably a little repetitive here, as you notice I do anyway, I suppose. But anyway, let's try this next paragraph. I think, let me see how far I go on to the next page of it. Yeah, I'm just top. Well, let me go through this next paragraph. Stop me at any point that it does strike you for questions or discussion. But making the effort, striving, trying to move forward in your walk with God is pleasing to the Spirit. The context of Ephesians stresses pastoral care and one another in love. And 1 Thessalonians 5, unquenching, has the same emphasis. We grieve the Spirit if we fail to have speech that edifies. I mean, when you're reading through this, you know, speaking the truth in love, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up. This is within the fellowship of the saints, holy ones, where sin is acknowledged and forgiven. You're forgiving one another. Kind, tender-hearted forgiveness is on the gospel track, far from legalism, because you are to forgive as God in Christ forgave you. This is the gospel track, right? And that's so part of this text. Process is understood. A process for sinners being made holy by putting on the clothes of righteousness. Finding these garments, you know, like in Romans 12, you know, testing the things that differ to find what is it the true and acceptable and perfect will of God. You have to find the garments and learning how to put them on. We grieve the Spirit in how we deal with sinning. That's a given. We are sinners. It's how we deal with it. As we continue to miss the mark. The crucial thing is how we deal with being sinners and sinning. Critical is how we receive correction and instruction from God through gospel ministry in the life of the church. And to me, that's the best context to understand Hebrews 13:17 about obeying your leaders, those who commit the word to you. They correct like the Lord corrects. They're to be correct, instruct in righteousness, like coaches. So don't grieve your pastor. Interesting word about grieving the pastor. It's not an advantage to you. But that's the context, is this kind of context. All right, let me stop there. Any thoughts on that paragraph? Just trying, as I build, I'm probably going to, you know, probably there are things I might want to say a little better because I'm working through this, but wrestling with it. But I think I'm getting out the ideas that I find most important here. But John,
so could an example of grieving the Spirit be just not attending church on Sunday?
I think so. I mean, you know, given
if you're not making the effort,
yeah,
your heart is not inclined to gather with others.
Sure.
And you call yourself a Christian, but you don't need to go to church or something.
Yeah, I think that the attitude, like, see, like we built a fire, or tried to build a fire under the day and worship, and I think that's one of the main things about church attendance, Sabbath King, worship the King. And, you know, of course we have different things that come up, illness and different things that, you know, on the Lord's Day, but, and there are works of mercy and necessity, and what is the other one? What am I missing? Works of mercy, necessity, and piety on the Lord's Day to do. So this is my work day, you know, in the Sabbath keeping, you know, but, yeah, I think so. I think those, you know, that striving, it's that attitude. People that are church hopping and don't really absorb with a pastor or with the people, I think that grieves the Holy Spirit. I mean, I'm intending to, you know, I'm going to be more specific. I'd probably be more like that. But, okay, this is going to, I'm keep repeating in a way, so let me try the next paragraph and see if you have any further thoughts. We grieve the Spirit when we break the bonds of love by not pursuing upbuilding speech. See, that's how I'm reading that command about not corrupt communication. I'm really thinking of it as the fellowship of the saints. And it's more on the gospel track than a legalism about, well, don't cuss and don't go with those who do, you know, the girls that do or whatever. You know. But you need upbuilding speech by doing the opposites of clamor and slander that arise from wrong-heartedness. Emphasis is on the open-heartedness and repentant-heartedness. So we step away from God by failing to be disciples with submissive hearts in a process of learning in the context of the church. The submissive heart is a willing heart open to the things of God, sincere, repentant. One another in love in the church also extends to pastoral care. Here in the Ephesians passage, he gave the shepherds and teachers for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. And so again, I mentioned there's a parallel here with the quenching of the Spirit by our attitude toward discipleship in relationship to other saints and pastors. So I'll stop there for a second. Yes,
this brings to mind a proverb, a wholesome tongue is the tree of life, the perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit.
Yeah. And it's that, you know, I think that whole, this is going to be life to others, the wholesome speech, and otherwise there's a spirit, you know, it is a spirit, it's an attitude and a spirit that comes out in the fellowship with others in the Lord. So I think that's a good proverb. Do you know where that is?
I don't know the address, but okay. I think of it often because I've been known to say a straight word or three, you know.
Okay. Good, I have not heard it. I've never heard it.
Well, when that boy threw that cordwood, I never said nothing.
That's right. My wife got tickled at me the other day when I was saying that we had our four grandchildren over, sitting watching them, and I was saying something about bad words and about not cussing on the tennis court or something. And she was looking over at me, and I'm talking to an 8-year-old about not cussing. She said, "Cause that's her reaction." And I said, "Well, you can ask your papa about that. I guess they won't have us watching for a while." How did I get on that? Okay. Anyway. Well, let me try then the final paragraph under that theme before we go to motivation.
I have a question for you. As a teacher, it's been a part of your history, you know, would you be more grieved by a set of students who didn't know anything or by ones who don't want to know anything?
Well, of course, the latter. The latter.
When
you have the former that acknowledge it, I mean, this is like, great.
It goes a long way. Okay,
it's an open door. Sure.
Absolutely. Anyone who wants, you know, just, you know, like I talk to you often, I've said to different ones of you, you stir up my pastor's heart. You know, certain things stir up my pastor's heart. You know, questions, comments, things about what we're doing, what we're working on. You just stir up my heart to, you know, if there's a learner that wants to learn, I think that kind of fans a desire to teach in me, you know, a pastoral concern for people. You know. But anyway, Yeah. All right, how do I, now this was the other question. I actually raised this one because my brother we were talking over these things, and then this is how he put the question. So I thought, well, okay, I'll try to wrestle with it the way you asked it. How do I know if I'm grieving the Spirit? And I'm not sure about the way I did the subjective-objective here, but I kind of think I'm kind of on a more objective and then subjective. You know in an objective way by testing yourself to see if you have a submissive and willing spirit toward pastoral care and mutual exhortation. And I think you got to see, I've been finding this so much as we've been studying a lot of different things, that intertwining between the mutual interaction of the saints, you need that. That's why I think we need times like this where we discuss the Word of God and interact, and like this is just why the suggestion about them having meals with the Word is goes so much with this, that we need that interaction between the people of God and with the pastor. If I can be present, I'm glad to be there. And I don't come with a club, right? I come to be part of and learn from you. And we interact. It's a great thing. Also, more subjectively, it is a matter of distance from or nearness to the Lord in your personal walk in the communion of saints in fellowship with God. Grieving the Spirit is a way of creating distance. But if you draw near to God, He will draw near to you. We also need the help of others because of the deceitfulness of sin, which is another angle on this, kind of brings in where we deceive ourselves. So we need that mutual interaction according to Hebrews 4:13. Are any thoughts on that? We'll go to motivation, which is comes out of our Ephesians 4:30 text.
It seems to me that other people is the greatest guarantee I have of knowing when I'm grieving the Spirit or not. You know, it's kind of like how do you know that you've drank too much? You know, the more you drink, the more your ability to discern those things go away. That's why drunk driving still happens. You know. And I don't know. I mean,
others are going to help.
The very things that are at work in grieving the Spirit are the very things that are blinding my eyes to my own actions in this. You know, so it seems to me that others, you know, good friends like all of you, that always serve me straight is my best guarantee. You know? Yeah. I guess that sort of thing. Right? Yeah.
I think this just elevates the fellowship of the saints. It's so integral in Thessalonians and in Ephesians, in this context of the quenching and in the context of the grieving. Let's try motivation then here now. I'll repeat something I did before a little bit and then kind of circle around it or above it, more with it. Grieving is directly personal, referring to you in relationship to the Holy Spirit Himself. Because of this personal aspect, this injunction is distinct within the series. I've tried to put that distinction out there in some ways as we talked. But it relates to all the rest. And one way to see it, it is a motivating duty in relationship to the other duties of the entire chapter. Now let's see how Calvin and Warfield developed the principle of motivation with those thoughts in mind. We question Calvin's interpretation of Genesis 6. But now we can appreciate aspects of what he says. To teach us, this is Calvin speaking, to teach us, God says, in the second place, or Moses says, I think he's saying, to teach us, the writer of the book of Genesis says, in the second place, concerning grief, that God was so offended by the atrocious wickedness of men as if they had wounded his heart with mortal grief. This paternal goodness and tenderness ought, in no slight degree, to subdue in us the love of sin. In other words, to put an arrow through the love of sin in us. Subdue it in us. Since God, in order more effectually to pierce our hearts, clothes himself with our affections. This is the motivating idea about grieving God, grieving the Holy Spirit. But this affectional language, as we've talked about what that all involves, that is to more pierce our hearts and should in no slight degree subdue in us the love of sin. Any thoughts on Calvin? That's just trying to remember, we kind of were critical of Calvin a little bit, but we can see what he was doing on a kind of a larger picture. Now let's think of what something that Warfield says in an article, The Sealing of the Holy Spirit in Faith and Life, a book by him. Warfield states that the sealing of the Holy Spirit expresses authentication and security. By being sealed, the Christian is authenticated as a redeemed one and made secure as to the completion of redemption. Earlier, Paul said, earlier in Ephesians, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, because it is the Spirit who works out all the promises to us. That's why he's called the Spirit of promise, because he works out all the promises to us, and who is also the earnest of our inheritance. If we recognize what Christ is doing in us by the Spirit, who lovingly deals with us as the foretaste of our inheritance and guarantor that we shall receive it, then we will say, if the Holy Spirit has done this for me, shall I have no care not to grieve him? He is the loving Spirit who is working in us toward good. Do we feel the pull of this appeal? That's Warfield. And I just conclude here with a related motivating element here. The taste of heaven that you have day by day, the joy, peace, comfort, and fellowship with God, is the experience you have by the presence of the Spirit in you as seal and earnest. When you fail in willingness and submission, you grieve the Spirit and in turn remove yourself from the taste of heaven. You know, to some degree. You're not removed, but to a degree. Grieving distances and interrupts sweet fellowship with the church family and the triune God. In the words of Warfield, do you therefore feel the pull of this appeal? Grieve not the Holy Spirit by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. So, any thoughts on this? Our reflections on the grieving of the Spirit. We took quite a journey on the grieving, but I think when it opened the door of the question of God's passibility and impassibility, you know, whether God's affected by his creatures, by his creation, by us, we had to do a little bit of that theology and come around to these practical thoughts. But okay, if there's any thoughts on this, or back to the sermon today, or we didn't take that, we were on the schedule thing before, but anywhere you want to go at this time, but if not, all right, good. The Lord bless you, keep you, and cause his face to shine upon you, and give you peace.